Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
The good fight of faith. Amen. So what do you think the most powerful weapon is you have in that fight? Oh, well, Larry got it. He's. You have to shut up, man.
I'm British now.
Praise is the greatest weapon you have in your spiritual armory. Now, I don't mean a time of praise like we have when we come for a service or meeting. That is supposed to be powerful. I love to hear of the occasions when people get miraculously healed during the times of worship. That happens quite regularly. Miracles happen because people actually forget about themselves and their needs. They're not focusing on their needs, but they're focusing on the Lord and giving to Him. And the scripture is, the measure you give is the measure you get back. You reap what you sow. So when we sow our praise and our worship, then God gives back to us. Not that we're looking for that, but He will never allow us to outdo Him in giving. He'll always do things better than we can ever do them, just to show who's boss, really. So, I mean, if we give, He will always give more. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And that relates not just to the giving of money, but to the giving of anything, the giving of ourselves. The more we give of ourselves to Him, the more He gives of Himself to us. It's a spiritual principle. Now, it's interesting that the scripture Richard read out at the beginning was about praising the Lord. And that in United this morning, they're going and talking about worship and praise. Nobody knew that this was the message God had laid on my heart for this morning, but you see, there's only one Holy Spirit. So if we're all plugged into the Holy Spirit, then we'll get the same message. But I want to talk about the power of praise. Now, I've been around in ministry for a long time, 53 years I celebrated just this month. And in the early days of the move of the Spirit, back in the 1970s, there were two or three key books that were published that everybody read. In those days, there weren't many spiritual books that were being published and read. So those that were got a very big sale and a lot of circulation. One of them was my book about the revival that went on in my church in Luton, When the Spirit Comes. The other book that had tremendous sale at that time was called Power in Praise. It was written by an American guy called Mervyn Carruthers. And just it was a time when God was opening up for His people a whole lot of new things that really had been lost in the life of the church. One was the whole dynamic of the Holy Spirit. All the gifts and the things of the Spirit. So it was new to see people being healed and ministry and the power of the Spirit in churches. This was something that was just totally new at that time. Even the Pentecostal churches were very dry and quite dead at that time. So it was a time of discovery, really, a time of God opening up fresh things to His people. But the other thing was that people were discovering the power of real worship. Worship has been very formal in the formal churches, just as worship is still formal in formal churches. But, you know, in our church in Luton, we were the first church to sort of abandon the Anglican service in the evening and have what we called evening praise. And every week during those praise services, miracles would happen, people would come to the Lord, many people would be healed, and so on. We were discovering the great power that is in praise. But what this book by Mervyn Carruthers was really opening people's eyes to was not just how powerful worship and praise can be in a meeting, but how important it is for us to be praising God continually, right in the face of all the situations that we have to confront in our lives. How are we going to shift the mountains? How are we going to actually receive the healing and the miracles that we need in our lives? How are we going to overcome all the negatives that are around us in the world all the time? Listen to this prophecy from Habakkuk. I suppose you all read Habakkuk every night before you go to sleep. But if you read just the last few verses, they will edify you. Listen to this. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Doesn't matter how bad the circumstances are, I will rejoice, I will praise, I will give thanks. Why? Because God is always greater than the circumstances. God never changes with circumstances. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what do we actually do when we praise the Lord? We exalt Him. What does that mean? We lift Him high. This is what praise is. It's lifting God high. It's lifting up the name of Jesus, exalting Him. So when we praise God during the normal course of our lives throughout the day, we lift God above our circumstances. And you see, that's exactly what Habakkuk is doing. We didn't discover praise in the New Testament. It's all the way through the Old Testament. Look at the Psalms. How many of those talk about praise? And not just in the Psalms. Listen to this. Before all the people, David blessed the Lord, saying, "You are blessed forever, Lord God of Israel, our Father. For you, Lord, are great, powerful, and glorious. You reign in majesty and are victorious. Everything in heaven and on earth belongs to you. To you, Lord, belongs the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all you have made. In your hand is the power and might to make your people great and give strength to all." You see, that's the power of praise. You exalt the God who is majestic and victorious, who is powerful and great above your circumstances. You are actually placing those circumstances under His power, under His authority, under His greatness. And this is the outworking of faith. You see, as soon as you've stopped rejoicing in the Lord, you've stopped walking by faith. That's why Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. This is why he says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." See, when you praise the Lord, you're also giving thanks, aren't you? You go through the gate of thanksgiving into the courts of praise. So these three things belong together: praising the Lord always, giving thanks in all circumstances, rejoicing in the Lord. It's an attitude of heart. It's not an activity. See, the trouble is that we tend to think of praise and worship being an activity that we do at the first part of the Christian Sunday service. That's not the essence of praise. Praise is what is going on in our hearts all day, every day, if we know and love the Lord. We are exalting Him above our circumstances when we pray. Always praise the Lord. The scripture says that when you pray always with thanksgiving. Why? Because if you can't thank the Lord for the answer, you haven't prayed with faith. Because Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. Well, if you believe you've received it, what are you going to say? Thank you, Lord. So, praise God. Hallelujah. So, this is the greatest weapon that we have, because it's the weapon that releases the presence of God, the power of God, the victory of God into our situations. It's the language of faith. Praise, thanksgiving, joy is the language of faith. In the various books that I've written on faith, I say that joy is the barometer of our faith. If you've stopped rejoicing, you've stopped believing, actually. You might have faith, you know, be a person of faith, but you're not believing in those circumstances if you're not rejoicing. Because if you're not rejoicing, you're believing the problem. You're believing the mountain. You're believing your feelings. You're believing your emotions. You're not trusting God. As soon as you start to trust God, as soon as you get your eyes on Him, you can't do anything but exalt Him, praise Him, thank Him, rejoice in Him, because He is so great. So it's not something that's difficult to do if we really know and love the Lord. It's something that is instinctive for us. So God wants our action, our reaction to circumstances to always be one that is positive. Now, we live in a negative world. You've only got to go down the supermarket or go shopping and you hear so many negative things. People talking down. They talk themselves down. They talk others down. They talk the nation down. We've got politicians talking each other down. Everybody's talking down at present. And what we need is to be the people of faith that have a totally different language from the language of the world. We don't think as the world thinks. We don't speak as the world thinks. We don't have the attitudes of the world. We're a kingdom people with kingdom conversation, kingdom attitudes, speaking kingdom faith. Amen. Which is why you're here this morning. This is kingdom faith. So we want to be those that come right up against every negative with what is positive. So when we exalt the Lord, when we praise God, we're coming against those negative things with Him. Not with ourselves, but with Him. This is why, you know, the scripture says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You see, because when you submit yourself to God, the enemy is going to come not against you, but against the one you've submitted yourself to. So he comes up against God. When you praise him, the enemy is coming up against God. And actually, he can't stand the praises of God. He just can't stand the praises of God. Why? Because originally he was Lucifer, the archangel in heaven that led all the heavenly host in the worship of God. And then he decided that he wanted to be worshipped himself instead of worshipping God. Immediately he got thrown out of heaven. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The third of the angels that followed him in his rebellion, they all got thrown out. Why? Because all you can have in heaven is praise. Yeah. Praise of God, not praise of man, not praise of yourself or anybody or anything else, simply praise of God. So to be a people of praise now, God is just preparing you for eternity. I don't know what the people who moan, groan and complain about everything are going to do when they get to heaven, because they'll feel really out of place. They're probably going to think, how on earth did I get here? And they'll feel very uncomfortable, I think, at first, because they're not used to being a people of praise. But we are those who really are a prophetic foretelling of what is going to happen when Jesus comes again. He will be greeted by a people of praise. You read your Bible and you'll see that that's what will happen. He will bring a host with him of former saints who have gone to be with him, and the people of praise on earth will be gathered up to be at one with him. So that's a great prospect. Come, Jesus, come. Before the referendum. No. I think we would all sigh with relief when the referendum is over, no matter which way it goes. Thank the Lord we haven't got to listen to any more of that stuff. But God is above all that. You know, people are saying, does God want us to be in or out? God is not a politician. The will of God is that his kingdom should come and his will be done on earth as in heaven. Whether you're in Europe, out of Europe, that doesn't change the purpose of God. You will never get God. God won't support the European Union because of all this corruption. God can't support something that is corrupt and you know, coming out. As a nation, we're no better. There's corruption in the nation. God doesn't support us. We're here to support the purpose of God, to fulfill the purpose of God, to have our focus on the kingdom. Which way are you going to vote? Well, what does the scripture say? According to your conscience. That's the principle of scripture. You always vote according to your conscience, what you believe genuinely God wants you to do. And not to be swayed by anybody else, but what you believe God is wanting you to do. That's always the right thing to do in any situation. But anyway, that's a little bonus for which there is no extra cost. But if we just get back to the praise of God, we want the praise of God over Europe. We want the praise of God over the whole world, don't we? We want to be able to see the kingdom of God come and the will of God being done in all these nations. But let's just be personal for a moment, because that all has to start with us, doesn't it? It has to start with the way the kingdom is going to be expressed in your life this week. Because you're going to have challenges this week. See, how do you overcome temptation? Not by fighting the temptation, but by praising God. I guarantee you start to praise God when you're in the face of temptation. The temptation will soon go away. Why? Because you get what does the enemy try to accomplish through temptation? Get your eyes on yourself. Get your eyes on your failure. Get your eyes on your feeling. Get your eyes on the desires of the flesh. Get your eyes on everything except God. Because he's the thief. He wants to try to distract you away from putting your focus on Jesus. See? So the answer to temptation is always to do exactly the opposite and get your eyes on Jesus and praise him and worship him and so on. If you're fighting sickness or some kind of need, whether it's emotional, whether it's physical, praise God. Just praise God. Just exalt him over the circumstances. It's not just a question of saying, I believe God that you heal me, and just endlessly praying. Exalt him over your situation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Rejoice in him. You see, this, when the scripture says give thanks in all circumstances, it actually means give thanks in all circumstances. So if you're sick, you give thanks, not for the sickness, but you thank God that he is greater than the sickness, that he is the healer of the sickness, that he is your savior. Is he your savior? Yes. That means he's your healer. It's the same word. In the Greek, save, heal, same word. You can translate it either way. So to say God is your salvation is to say God is your healing. Amen? So, we've been saved in spirit, soul, and body because Jesus suffered in spirit, soul, and body on the cross to set us free completely. So when we praise him, we're believing the victory. We're believing what he's done. We're believing that he is greater than my feelings, greater than my circumstances. When we praise him over the circumstances of the church or of the local community or whatever it is that's concerning us and we're praying about, we're actually exalting him, we're lifting him high, and we're saying, God, you are the answer to this dilemma. You are the answer to this situation. You are the answer to this problem. So often we don't know what to do. We don't even know how to pray. I think with this referendum, a lot of people don't know how to pray because the scripture says we just do not know how to pray ourselves. So don't be surprised if you can't pray yourself. But that's why God has given us the Holy Spirit. It says pray at all times in the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will enable you to pray for what is right and in the right way. That's why the gift of tongues is such a precious gift. People say, oh, I don't like to use the gift of tongues because I don't understand it. Precisely. God enables you to pray beyond your limited understanding, your very limited understanding. But there's no limitations to his understanding. So the Holy Spirit will enable you to pray beyond your understanding. You see, we're supposed to do everything supernaturally as Christians. Otherwise, there's no point in being a Christian. How can you have Christ in you and just do things in the natural? Because he is supernatural. How can you have the Holy Spirit in you and just do things in the natural? Because he is supernatural. How can you have the kingdom of God within you and just do things in the natural? Because the kingdom of God is supernatural. It's the kingdom of heaven. So God expects us to be moving in the supernatural every day. Miracles should not be a surprise. They should be our expectation. Amen. I mean, we should be expecting the miraculous, not be surprised if it suddenly happens. Amen? So, you see, when we exalt the Lord, we're exalting the miracle worker over the situation. Amen. We're exalting the Almighty One above our feelings, above our fears, above our doubts even. Because although God wants us to be moving by faith in every situation in which we're placed, we know that's not always the case. I think one of the great few verses of in the Psalms that I just feed on. This is my confession of faith over my life every day. The first few verses of Psalm 103. Some of your translations will say, praise the Lord. Some would say, bless the Lord. The Hebrew is more accurately translated, bless the Lord. What does it mean to bless? It means to please, to fulfill completely, to make happy in the sense of making fulfilled. So when you praise the Lord, you actually make him happy. When you bless the Lord, you're pleasing the Lord. Not because he's sitting on the throne in a selfish way, because his desire is always to give. But you see, the measure you give is the measure that he then is able to give back to you. So bless the Lord or praise the Lord, O my soul. What is your soul? It's your mind, your emotions, your will. So you don't, I mean, even when we come to the service, we don't just sit here and mouth words off the wall. Because we are to praise with all of our mind, with all of our emotions, with our total will. We're praising the Lord, we're blessing the Lord with every part of our soul. With our bodies as well, because our bodies are to be offered to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is our spiritual worship. So bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, all my inmost being, bless his holy name. I'm praising God with everything. I'm not just doing it because, Pastor Colin said in that thing, we ought to praise the Lord when we're in difficulty. So, okay, praise you, Jesus. It's not really going to work, you know. doesn't really come from the heart. It's not wholehearted, is it? But to say, oh God, you are so wonderful. I thank you, Lord, that I might be in this really, really difficult situation. See, I'm frequently put in situations where I have to do what I would never choose to do, where I don't want to do. And sometimes I feel inadequate to do these things. But I know that if I exalt the Lord and praise the Lord, He will be my enabler.
Yes, amen.
You know what it's like when you're having to face something that you really don't want to do. You really know it's going to be a big challenge. And you wake up in the morning and you would prefer not to have to get up and face that day. Well, I've learned to do this. When I wake up on days like that, I say, thank you, Lord, tonight I will go to bed and you will have enabled me to do everything that I have to do. You see, if you start the day with praise, you're actually, what you're actually doing is you're forming the atmosphere for the rest of your day. Start it with praise, you can live in praise, and you can end the day in praise. Thank you, Father, you've enabled me to do today what I could never have done myself, what I wasn't even looking forward to, and it wasn't nearly as bad, because, you know, when we have a negative expectation, we always make things out to be worse than they really are. Have a positive mindset, knowing that God will always, be there for us. He will always be wanting us to get through every situation because of our trust in Him. So all my inmost being, praise His holy name, bless His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. You see, as soon as we start to get negative, as soon as we start to complain, even have an attitude, a negative attitude, a complaining attitude, even if we're not saying much, but as soon as we start doing that, we have got our eyes not only off the Lord, but off all that He's done. I mean, how can you complain when Jesus has given His life for you? Jesus has come to live in you. Jesus has given you the gift of His Spirit. Jesus has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Jesus has taken hold of your life and put you in Christ. What on earth have you got to complain about? God says in His Word that He has made you rich in every way, that you lack no good thing. What is there to complain about? See, why do we complain when we've stopped believing what He's done? When we've stopped believing what He's given, when we've got our eyes off of Him, off of the truth, and onto ourselves, then we get all negative. And negativity gets us nowhere. So forget not all His benefits. And then David lists these things. I mean, they're just so wonderful. He forgives all my sins. That means I don't have to live in guilt. I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to live in condemnation. I'm forgiven.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise God. Forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. I can't believe that and go around talking about sickness. And I certainly am not going to watch television programs all about sickness and hospitals and things like that. Because we live to proclaim the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the saving power of God, not to get our minds filled with hospitals and sickness. I mean, if you have to go to the hospital, that's bad enough without having to watch it as entertainment. I mean, it's not entertainment, seeing people suffer. I mean, you know, call the midwife. Every episode was the same. Every episode. I mean, it was utterly predictable. My wife knows I've got a thing about Call the Midwife.
Well, I don't watch it.
But she doesn't watch it either. No, she doesn't watch it either. No, she heard what I said. They didn't hear that. So he heals all our diseases. We want to exalt the healer. The healer, the healer. We give hope, not despair and despondency. All the time is negative. I praise you, Lord, for my healing. I might be in pain, there might be symptoms, but I'm praising God for my healing. You know, one of the difficult things for somebody who's walking by faith is when somebody says, "How are you?"
Yeah.
And you're feeling absolutely lousy, you see. And you know, you're really struggling and fighting with something. Now, how are you going to answer that question? Because if you say, "I'm feeling lousy," you would then feel lousier than you felt before you said you feel lousy, because you're actually making a negative confession. And if you say, "It's really hurting," well, it'll hurt even more, because that's your faith. Jesus said, from the overflow of the mouth, of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what are you going to say? Well, I say things like this, is that I'm rejoicing in the Lord. I'm praising God. I'm walking in my victory. I'm living in my healing. That's how I am. That's how you are, the people of faith. And you see, your body responds to what you say. You keep speaking the truth over your life. You keep speaking faith over your life. And every aspect of your life is touched by that truth. So David was a man before his time, wasn't he? To be able to speak like this 1,000 years before Jesus Christ suffered on the cross. Yet he still knew God was his Savior and his healer. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit. You know, when I feel in the lowest depths of despair, he is my Redeemer. Amen. If I lift him up in praise, what's he going to do? He's going to lift me up out of the pit. Why? Because I'm seated with him in heavenly places. This is so practical. No wonder Larry got it right first time, you see. He's a man of praise. So who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with love and compassion. Now, most of us, you know, don't wear crowns like the Queen does. But I don't know whether you've ever noticed, but if you ever notice the Queen on a ceremonial occasion, when she's got her crown on, she never, ever, ever bows her head. Why? Because if you do, your crown falls off. And you see, that's the thing. If you know that you're crowned, you keep your head up. He's the lifter of your head. See, he's the lifter of your head. And when you praise the Lord, you're looking up to him all the time. You start to get, it's all so difficult and it's all so... it's got such a problem. See, when people got that attitude, they're the problem. The problem isn't the situation, it's their reaction to the situation. You know, it's been said, we don't have problems, only opportunities. Opportunities to see the life and the power and the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called faith, being a people of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Who satisfies your desires with good things.
Yes.
Yes. Renewing your youth. I'm looking around, there's quite a few of us here this morning that need to confess this over our lives. Renewing your youth like the eagles. Wow. You You know, those of us in our 70s, we're not old, we're just 70 years young, aren't we? I'm 76 now, so I'm approaching middle age. I have to acknowledge that. But yes, absolutely. Many years to go, yeah. But you see, the point is that we are renewed. We feel so much younger. You know, people say you're as young as you feel, or as old as you feel. Well, I feel young. Don't you feel young? The body doesn't always work as it did 40 years ago, but it's a little bit slower than it was and gets a bit tireder than it used to get. But the more we exalt the Lord, the more He enables us to do. Isn't that right? He renews our youth. We maintain that youthful kind of attitude. We're not going to be put down by anything. We're certainly not going to be put down by the enemy. No circumstance can be greater than our Lord and our Savior. No problem can arise that cannot be shifted. You see, what does Jesus tell us to do? When we pray, He says, speak to the mountain. Speak to the situation. Command it to be moved. And then He says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. Why? So you're going to speak to the mountain, command it to be moved, then you're going to worship and praise God and thank Him. Yes, thank you, Lord, for the victory. That thing is dealt with now. It has to go because it's your word. And there's so much in Scripture, especially in the epistle to the Hebrews, about really coming right before the throne of God when we pray and when we worship. Coming before the throne of grace with true heart and full assurance of faith, sincere heart and full assurance of faith. You see, God wants us up there with Him, not down here with our problems. Up there with Him, looking down on our problems. You see, these problems that Jesus calls mountains, right? Do you know, the more you speak about the mountain, the higher the mountain gets. If you've ever been to Switzerland, you've seen the Alps soaring above you. They look totally immovable. But you get in an aeroplane, fly over those same mountains, look out the window, and they're smaller than your little finger. And if you could, you know, it looks as if you could just reach out of the airplane window and just... Same mountain, but a totally different perspective. You're now looking down on it. You're getting God's perspective on it. Problem? What problem? God doesn't have problems. He does have some people who believe in them. But God doesn't have any problems. What could ever be a problem for God? And according to my Bible, we are in Him and He is in us. So He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. See, so you get your eyes on the one who carries the burden. Cast all your cares, all your burdens on the Lord, for He cares for you, all of them. I heard the story once of a lady who came into church building, and a pastor happened to be there, and she said to the pastor, would you pray with me, because I've got this problem, and it's like the last straw, and I just don't know how I can go on. So would you please pray that this problem will go from my life? And the pastor looked at her and he said, no, I won't. And she said, why won't you pray with me for this problem to go? He said, because you're being disobedient to the Lord. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, the Word of God says, cast all your burdens on the Lord, for He cares for you. I'll only pray for you if you cast all your burdens on Him, not just that one that you think is the final straw. Are we at the same meeting here?
Yes.
So what a wise pastor. But that's it, you see. Sometimes we think, oh, this, I just can't cope with this. Because it looks to us like the last straw. But if we keep casting our burdens on the Lord every day, then they don't accumulate.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
It doesn't quite work these days because we have these trolleys and in airports, you know, and you can these carts and or you've got wheels on your cases. But when I started to travel internationally, I was always met at airports, and in those days you had to carry a suitcase, you know. And so people would politely offer to carry my suitcase. And I'd say, yes, yes, willingly. And you see, what I was doing was casting the whole burden on them. I didn't say, well, wait a minute, let me explain to you what is in this case. Oh, look, it's rather heavy because, look, if I just take one thing out and give it to you, then I'll carry the rest because it'll be a little bit lighter then. You see, it would be crazy, wouldn't it? That would be a crazy way of carrying on, isn't it? But that's the way most people pray. Instead of casting all their burdens on the Lord, oh, Lord, I just can't cope with this one. Why have the other things been allowed to accumulate? And you see, it's no use sort of giving over the suitcase and then taking it back again. That would be suggest, oh Lord, you can't carry it. No, he says, you know, cast your burdens upon me, all of them, because I care for you. It's all attitude. And we just praise him. Thank you, Lord, that your love for me is so great. You don't want me to carry these burdens myself. Thank you, Lord, that your love is so great that you have already overcome the enemy. And as I praise you, I'm proclaiming your victory over all the powers of darkness. Whatever comes against me comes against you. And so it's defeated. Hallelujah. Now, the only other thing, just to round this off, is you've got to be wise. You remember what Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount? There were two guys. One built his house on rock because he heard and he put the word into practice. But another guy built his house on sand. He heard, but he didn't do it. They both heard the word. Praise the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my lips. Psalm 34:1. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. This is the will of God for you, to give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God for you. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. See, some hear, but they don't do it. So what happens when the storm comes? Everything gets shaken. I can't understand why this is happening to me. I don't know why the Lord doesn't do something about it. Well, you haven't got the right attitude, have you? If you're moaning, groaning, and complaining, instead of doing what he says, rejoicing, giving thanks, praising him, exalting him, lifting him up above the situation, no wonder you're left with the problem. Because you've heard, but you built your house on sand. And not on the rock. James says the same thing in a different way in his letter. He says that the man who hears the word and does not do it deceives himself. Wow. And if you deceive yourself, that opens the way for the deceiver to come in with his deception, doesn't it? So the only thing for us to do is to hear the truth and do it. To hear the word and obey. So Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. What are his commands? Praise the Lord at all times. Let his praise continually be on your lips. Give thanks in all, that's a command. Give thanks in all circumstances, in his word. Rejoice in the Lord always, it's a command in his word. It's not a suggestion. It's not, you know, helps for living. It's a command from God. Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. I mean, every time you say hallelujah, you're actually saying praise the Lord. It's a statement, it's also a command. Let the Lord's name be praised. Hallelujah. So, we're going to have a good week. Oh, I mean, and then we're going to have a good month. Then we're going to have a good year. Then we're going to have a good rest of our lives. Because we're going to praise the Lord, give thanks in all circumstances, and rejoice in him always. And these niggling things that have persisted in our lives are going to come under the power of the one we exalt.
Amen.
Come on, let's all stand. Now, we don't need the band because you've got the praise of God in your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sura taparia letu pakaras. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Hura taparia letu pakaras sato pakaras sitri sanga. Basataparia letu pakaras sitri sanga. Basataparia letu pakaras sitri sanga. Oh, praise your holy name. Bless your holy name. We exalt your holy name. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Kura taparia leto bakala sataparia leto bakala sita. Basataparia leto bakala sita di sandu. Basandaria leto bakala sita di sandaria leto bakala sandu. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to put this word into practice. You see, we don't live in denial that we can have problems. We just don't put our faith in the problems. But we put our faith in the one who is the answer to the problems, to the needs. So we can look fair and square at the problem and then praise God. Yes. Praise him that Jesus has won the victory on the cross. Yes. Praise him that he is the Almighty One. Mm. Nothing is impossible for him. Mm. Praise him that because we're a people of faith, we can do the same things as him and greater things still, because that's what he said. Praise him that we have the authority to speak to mountains, command them to be moved. Yes. Thank him that we have the praise of God in our hearts. Yes. And we can express that praise. So just bring one situation that's of concern to you. Might be in your own life, might be a situation in somebody else's life, someone that you relate to. But it's something that you're praying regularly about. Just look at it fair and square, and now don't talk to God about the problem. He knows all about the problem. The scripture says he knows everything before you even ask. You don't have to explain a lot of things about the problem. You just need to praise the Lord who is greater than the problem. So let's just begin to exalt him now and say, Lord, thank you. You're greater than this problem. I exalt you. I lift you up. I lift you up above this problem. I thank you, Lord, that to you it isn't a problem. And I cast this care upon you. I cast this problem upon you. And I thank you, Lord, that you deliver me. You save me from it. And I command this problem to leave my life now, to get out of my life and never return. And I exalt you and I praise you, Lord, and I bless you for your victory, for your praise of your wonderful holy name. I rejoice in you, Lord. Come on, let's rejoice in him. I rejoice in you. I rejoice in your victory. I thank you, Lord. I'm not a sad, miserable, despondent person. I am a joyful child of God. Hallelujah. And I give you thanks. I give you honor. I give you praise. I bless your holy name. Yes! Thank you, Jesus. Pura taparia lera bakalazato bakalazito. Oh, paparazatabaria. Now thank him that that need cannot persist. It cannot persist. Hallelujah. You have the victory over it in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. You are greater. We thank you that you are victorious. We thank you that you are almighty. We thank you that in your love you care for us. Oh, in your love you answer us. That, Lord, your word declares that if we know that you hear us, we know that we have received from you whatever we ask. And so we praise you and we exalt you and we glorify your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You have made us a people of faith, a people of praise, a people of victory, a people of joy. A people of thanksgiving. Yes. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah. Come on, just try to look joyful now. Let your face in. Let your face in on the joy. Hallelujah. You don't hide it within you. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We bless your holy name. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus also teaches us about perseverance. And so you need to persevere in your thanksgiving, persevere in your praise. Because just because you exalt God over a situation, it doesn't mean that the situation is always immediately remedied. Sometimes you have to persist in that praise, persist in your faith. The testing of our faith proves it's genuine. And sometimes that's the way your faith gets tested. Things don't happen immediately. Will you believe God and persevere, or will you give up? You see, that's the test. And if you persevere, then you pass the test. If you give up, you failed the test. It's rather like the driving test. You have to keep taking it again and again until you pass. So you need to pass the test of faith, yes? And never give up. Come on, let's thank the Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pura taparia leto bakalasato bakalasito. Bazandaria leto bakalasito di sangue. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Now, do you realize what you've just done? You've just given somebody a headache. The devil's now got a migraine. He's got a migraine. And you never have to feel sorry for him because he's a nasty piece of work. But you've given him a headache. As soon as you start to praise God, He's got no answer. He's got no answer to that. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bless your holy name. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, we want to bless you and thank you. Thank you that this is a meeting that will never end. That this meeting that we're having this morning is going to go on for the rest of our lives. That we're going to continue to praise you, continue to exalt you, continue to give you thanks in all circumstances. We're going to continue to rejoice in you always. And we just bless you for the gift of your Holy Spirit living within us that enables us to do this. Reminds us all the time to be positive, to be people of faith, and to meet every situation with that faith. And we give you all the praise in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's thank the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.